Om Namo
Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om
Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
From Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 84, Chapter entitled The Sage's Teachings at Kurukshetra, text number 43 onwards. Ta'enam Rishayo Rajan Vrita Dhamena Dhamikam Tasmin Ayajayan Kshetre Makair Uttama Kalpakai Ta'enam Rishayo Rajan Ta'enam Rishayo Rajan Ritadamena Dharmikam Ritadamena Dharmikam Tasmina Yajayan Kshetre Tasmina Yajayan Kshetre Makair Uttama Kalpakai Makair Uttama Kalpakai Ta'enam Rishayo Rajan Ritadamena Dharmikam Tasmina Yajayan Kshetre Makair Uttama Kalpakai Enam
Him
Rishaya
Rishaya
the sages
Rajan
O King Parikshit
O King Parikshit
Rita
Chosen
Dhamena
According to religious principles
Dhamikam
Who was religious
Tasmin
In that.
Ayajayan.
They engage in executing sacrifices.
Kshetre.
The holy field of Kurukshetra.
Makai.
With fire rituals.
Uttama.
Super excellent.
Kalpakai.
Whose arrangements?
Translation and purports by the followers of Srila Prabhupada.
Thus requested by him, O King, the sages engage the pious Vasudev in performing fire sacrifices at that holy place of Kurukshetra, according to strict religious principles and with most excellent ritual arrangements. Translation responsibly. Thus requested by him, O King.
Thus requested by him, O King.
The sages engaged the pious Vasudev. In performing fire sacrifices. At that most holy place of Kurukshetra.
According to strict religious principles.
And with most excellent ritual arrangements. Texts 44 and 45. When Maharaj Vasudev was about to be initiated for the sacrifice, O King, the Vrishnis came to the initiation pavilion after bathing and putting on fine clothes and garlands of lotuses. The other kings also came elaborately ornamented, as well as all their joyful queens, who wore jeweled lockets around their necks, and were also clad in fine garments. The royal wives were anointed with sandalwood paste and carried auspicious items for the worship. Text 46. Ridangas, patahas, conch shells, berries, arnicas, and other instruments resounded. Male and female dancers danced, and sutras and magadas recited glorifications. Sweet voiced Gandharvis sang, accompanied by their husbands. After Vasudeva's eyes had been decorated with black cosmetic and his body smeared with fresh butter, the priests initiated him according to the scriptural rules by sprinkling him with his 18 wives with sacred water. Encircled by his wives, he resembled the regal moon encircled by stars. Purport. Devaki was Vasudeva's principal wife, but she had several co-wives, including her six sisters. This fact is recorded in the ninth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Ahuka had two sons named Devaka and Ugrasena. Devaka had four sons named Devavan, Upadeva, Sudeva, Devavardhana. And he also had seven daughters named Shantideva, Upadeva, Srideva, Devarakshita, Sahadeva, Devaki, and Dhritadeva. Dhritadeva was the eldest. Vasudeva, the father of Krishna, married all these sisters. Some of Vasudeva's other wives are mentioned a few verses later. Devaki, Pauravi, Rohini, Bhadra, Madhira, and Rochana, Ila, and others were all wives of Anaka Dundubi, Vasudeva. Among them all, Devaki was the chief. Text 48. Vasudeva received initiation along with his wives, who wore silk saris and were adorned with bangles, necklaces, ankle bells, and earrings. With his body wrapped in a deerskin, Vasudeva shone splendidly. My dear Maharaj Parikshit, Vasudeva's priests and the officiating members of the assembly, dressed in silk dhotis and jewelled ornaments, look so effulgent that they seem to be standing in the sacrificial arena of Indra, the killer of Ritra. At that time, Balaram and Krishna, the lords of all living entities, shone forth with great majesty in the company of their respective sons, wives, and other family members, who were expansions of their opulences. We'll stop there. Do 52 tomorrow. Not that, because there's a small purple for 52. I think Ramai Swami will be here tomorrow. Omagyan, Timanandasya, Gyananjana Shalakaya, Chakshurun Nalitam Jena Tasmai, Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swa Padantikam Bancha Kalpata Rubyascha Kripa Sindhu Pievacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishna Bebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this is one of the amazing chapters of the Bhagavatam, as we've mentioned previously, that the Bhagavatam is divided into 330 or so chapters. So those 330 chapters, most of them are directly about Lord Krishna. Because you see within the 10th canto there's the 90 chapters, which are directly about Krishna, directly. And the 11th canto is Krishna directly speaking to Uddhava, Uddhava Gita. And Canto 1, from chapter 7, nearly to like chapter 12, then it is about Krishna and his past lives with the Pandavas. And then in the beginning of Canto 3, the first four chapters or so are directly about Krishna A synopsis of his pastimes. So actually the Bhagavatam is about Krishna. Because the guiding verse or the governing verse of the entire Bhagavatam is Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. Ete Cham Sakalam. So it means that Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, and all other incarnations are expansions or expansions of their expansions. But he is the origin of all. This is the Samam Bonam, or the Absolute Truth, the Param Satyam, Dhimahi. This is established in the first verse of the Bhagavatam, that Krishna is the original, the origin of all other incarnations. Even though in other Puranas and so forth, it is mentioned that Vishnu or Narayan is the origin of Krishna and Balaram. There are statements like that. There are some statements in the Puranas that say that Krishna and Balaram are like a white and black hair on the body of Lord Vishnu. But actually, if we study the Vedas as a whole, if we look at the entire Vedic literature, you'll see that the Mahamuni, or the compiler of the Vedas, is Srila Vyas. Vyasadeva is the compiler of the Vedas, Vedanta Krit. He compiled Vedanta, he compiled all the Vedas. And we read from the Bhagavatam that at the end of his compilation of the entire Vedic literature, after he compiled everything, then he felt incomplete. And therefore his guru, Narada, instructed him, write something else. Write a conclusion to everything that was written before. And we understand that the final instruction is the most important instruction. That is there in the in Vedic literature. The final instruction is considered the most important. Just like you'll see in the Bhagavad Gita, what is the final instruction? Surrender to Krishna. That's the final instruction. Krishna said so many things leading up until chapter 18, but the final instruction is Sava Daman, Parijyaja, abandon everything else that I previously said. Prabhupada says like that. Prabhupada's giving one lecture, and Prabhupada says in the lecture that Krishna said so many things. He said karma, jnana, dhyana, tapasya, yoga, sannyas, so many things. But then Prabhupada says, Krishna says to Arjuna, just forget it. Everything that I've said. And just concentrate your mind on this one instruction. Abandon everything else. Mam ekam sharanam braja, and just surrender to me. Mam mana bhava ma bhakto, always think of me. Become my devotee. Worship me. Offer your homage unto me. So this is Krishna's final instruction. So this supersedes everything else which he has spoken. It's considered the most important thing. And then actually after that, Krishna says a few more things. What's Krishna's instruction after that? Even though that is considered the Param Shloki, or his ultimate instruction, then what does he say after that? He speaks a few more verses. What's that? He says that? What does he say after?
Those who preach this message of his are most dear.
So that's that even goes after his Param Shloki, his final instruction, his topmost conclusion. He says those who preach are the most dear to him. That those who explain this knowledge to others are the most dear to him. So Krishna shows his special mercy to those who preach this message. And that is the mood of the Bhagavad Gita actually. Krishna speaks the Bhagavad Gita in the mood of compassion. Right? He is in the mood of compassion when he speaks the Gita. So, if one understands his mood, then one will also repeat that message to others, for the benefit of others. And Srila Prabhupada understood that message better than anyone else. And that's why he stamped upon his Gita, Bhagavad Gita, as it is. Because the essence of the Gita was derived in Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita. Many Bhagavad Gitas are there, many commentaries are there, but Prabhupada's you can say supersedes practically all of them. Because he most perfectly understands the nature of Krishna's heart. He understands what Krishna's innermost desire is. Right? Krishna's innermost desire is not that we just liberate ourselves. Right? Krishna's innermost desire is that we liberate others, as many others as we can, along with liberating ourselves from this material world. So, it is explained that the final instruction is considered to be the most perfect. So therefore, the Srimad Bhagavatam was the final Siddhanta, or the final conclusion of Srila Vyasadeva. Therefore, it is said to be the supermost. It is the topmost scripture. It describes the Param Satyam, the absolute truth. And what is the absolute truth? It is Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is the source of all other incarnations. All other incarnations are portions, or portions of the plenary portions of Krishna. But he is the origin of everything. This is the topmost Siddhanta. This is what was established by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna, Nahi Anya. He is the combined form of Srimati Radharani and Krishna. He is that Swayam Bhagavan. He is that self-same personality. This is established in the beginning of the Chaitanya Bhagavat and the Chaitanya Charitamrita by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami and Vrindavan Das Thakur, that he is that same personality. Krishna, one day, he was sitting with Srimati Radharani. And he said to Radharani, I want to experience what you experience. Because even though he is the Supreme Lord himself, still he can see that Srimati Radharani's bliss, or what she experiences in contact with him, surpasses even what he experiences in terms of bliss. So naturally, if you see that someone has more than you, if you see that someone is more happy than you, or has more bliss than you, naturally you say to that person, where did you get that from? How can I have some of that? Can you give it to me? So Krishna understood that in order to experience what Radharani was experiencing, he had to take her mood. Matiji, sit across a little more, just so the men can come through as well. So Krishna, he wanted to experience exactly the same as Srimati Radharani was experiencing. So then he took her mood, her bhav. So he took her innermost feelings. And Krishna took that mood that Radharani had. But then Radharani said to Krishna that if you take this mood, if you take this feeling that I have for you, and you absorb yourself in that feeling, your body will go into ecstasy, and you will not be able to control your bodily activities. And therefore you saw in the Chaitanya Charitamrita and so forth, when Lord Chaitanya would dance in kirtan, his body would crash to the ground sometimes. And it is said that sometimes when Lord Chaitanya would come to the ground, all the devotees thought that Lord Chaitanya had broken all the bones in his body. Can you just imagine? You're in kirtan and one of the brahmacharis just goes crash onto the marble. Right? Uddhava's dancing in kirtan in ecstasy. So much ecstasy, and then just smashes onto the ground. Right? So then everyone would be, is he okay? His bones broken? So that was like Lord Chaitanya would smash to the ground so heavily that all the devotees would think that he had broken all the bones in his body. Everyone was in complete anxiety. Mother Sachi could not bear it when she saw Lord Chaitanya dancing like this in kirtan. So Srimati Radharani said to Krishna, if you take my mood, then I will take my form and I will embrace your form and I will cover your form, because I cannot bear to see your body hurting, or your body going through pain. So therefore, because I do not want to see you suffering, then I will cover your form with my form, with the dhyuti. Dhyuti means like the complexion. So Radharani, she embraced Krishna and she covered Krishna with her complexion. So then Krishna became golden. So Shyama Sundara, or beautiful blackish Krishna, became Gaura Sundara. He became beautiful, golden Krishna. Same Krishna. But one is blackish, one is golden. But same personality. One has the mood of the bhakta, and the other one has the mood of the bhakta. One is the devotee, one is the enjoyer of the Supreme Lord. So Krishna took that mood of Mahaprabhu, and then like that. So this Mahaprabhu is the same Krishna, same personality. He is the Swayam Bhagavan, he is the original personality. And all of the other forms are expansions of him. This is the absolute truth. And this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to establish in this world. Krishna's to the Bhagavan Swayam. He is the original personality. He came to establish that Krishna is the topmost personality, above and beyond all other incarnations of God. And you'll see in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that when Lord Chaitanya travelled into South India, what's the technical name for the Vaishnavas in South India? No, but there's like a Prabhupada in the beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita, he gives like a, he says Gaudiya means the upper portion, and there's a Pantra Dravida or something. Can't remember that. Prabhupada mentions there's a different mood in South India. The Vaishnavas have a different mood there. Generally, most of the temples in South India, they worship Lakshmi Narayan or Ramachandra, like that. But you won't see many Krishna temples in South India. But in the northern part of India, right, it is called Gaudadesh. This is where the Gaudiya Vaishnavas come from. Sometimes we say we are Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Devotees think that means that we are followers of Gaura, because we follow Gauranga, Lord Chaitanya, so we are Gaudiyas. But actually it means, Prabhupada explains in the beginning of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the northern part of India, there are five provinces in ancient times, and the type of worship which is performed in that northern part of India, that is where our tradition comes from. So therefore we are known as Gaudiya Vaishnavas, because primarily we worship Krishna. When you go to North India, you'll see there are a lot of Krishna temples there, much more so than in South India. So when Mahaprabhu went to South India, there's many Lakshmi Narayan temples, and in the temples of Lakshmi Narayan, the mood of Vaikuntha, or the mood of awe and reverence, is very prevalent. It's a different type of mood, right? It is the mood of Aishwarya, or worshipping the Lord in great opulence. Just like you'll go to some of the famous temples in South India, Sri Rangam, Tirupati, some of the famous temples, and you see so much opulence is there. The spires of the temple, like the spires on top of the temple, the towers on top of the temple, are made of pure gold. Like solid gold. I mean, there's just unlimited opulence there. This is what it's like in Vaikuntha. So this is the mood which is there. That's the mood of Vaikuntha. But the mood in Vrindavan, in Goloka, is that even though actually the Aishwarya or the opulence supersedes or even is greater than the opulence of Vaikuntha, sometimes we think, devotees think, that Vrindavan is a village. Because Vrindavan is, it's a village. And Krishna lives in Vrindavan, he lives in the forest. So people think that actually Vaikuntha is more opulent than Vrindavan. But actually it's not so. Vrindavan is more opulent than Vaikuntha. It is much more opulent than Vaikuntha. In Vrindavan, each tree in Brahma Samhita, then Lord Brahma describes that the trees are kalpa vrikshas. So these kalpa vriksha trees, the branch of the tree is made of jewel. And each leaf is a jewel. But just like in this world, the leaves are soft. So in the spiritual world, the leaves are soft. But the leaf itself is made of jewel. It's like made of emerald. So we can't even imagine every, you know, you just take one branch in Goloka Vrindavan, you know, the branch must be worth more than what Bill Gates has in his bank account. Just one of the branches. That's how opulent Goloka Vrindavan is. But the mood in Goloka Vrindavan, even though there is unlimited Aishwarya or opulence, but still the mood there is Madhurya. Madhurya means sweetness. Devotees are interested in having sweet, loving exchanges with Krishna. They're not overwhelmed by the opulence, even though the opulence is there, and it actually surpasses Vaikuntha, but they're not distracted by it. Simply, they go to the trees, and they see so many beautiful leaves, let's pick those leaves and make some decoration, add them to the garlands, make some decoration that we can then offer to Krishna. You know, they're not sowing the garlands and thinking, wow, this one's worth about 30 million. You know, like, you know, and then they think, oh, well, you know, look at this flower. You know, this flower must be worth about 50 million. You know, maybe I can just stash that one. No one thinks like that. Everyone's just totally absorbed in pleasing Krishna. But the opulence surpasses even Vaikuntha. But the mood is different. So when Lord Chaitanya went to South India, he encountered this mood of the reverence, or the mood in the worship is overwhelmed by Aishwarya, awe and reverence. So Mahaprabhu, when he travelled through South India and he met with different scholars and different personalities, just like Venkata Bhatta, who was the father of Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who is one of the famous six Goswamis of Vrindavan. When he met him, Lord Chaitanya would argue with him about the supremacy of Narayan compared to the supremacy of Krishna. Because Lord Chaitanya wanted to establish that this Krishna was Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. He is the original personality of Godhead. So then, when he spoke to Venkata Bhatta, then he said, then, your Narayan is the most opulent Lord. He is the supreme personality. And his wife, Lakshmi Devi, is the most opulent goddess of fortune. And she is the most chaste lady in creation. There's no one more devoted to her husband than Lakshmi Devi. But he said, why is it that your Lakshmi Devi, even though she is married to Lord Narayan, why is it that she's more attracted to my Krishna? Why is it that she wants to go and do tapasya? If you go to Vrindavan and you do Braj Mandal Parikrama and you go through the 12 forests in Vrindavan on the western side of the Jamuna, on the eastern side of the Jamuna, you'll see there's one forest there called Srivan or Tapavan. And in that forest, Lakshmi Devi performed austerities for thousands of years in order to gain qualification to enter into the rasa dance with Krishna. So for thousands of years, she performed great austerity because she wanted to become a gopi and dance with Krishna in the rasa lila. Because she understood that Krishna and Narayan, her husband Narayan and Krishna, they are the same personality. So there's nothing wrong. She's still dancing with her husband. But still she's more attracted to the form of Krishna, dressed as a cowherd boy in the forest, than Lord Narayan, dressed with great crowns and opulence and jewels. And she's thinking, I'd rather go and dance with Krishna. So for thousands of years she did austerity. But at the end of her austerity, Krishna appeared to her, and he could not grant her desire. He could not allow her to enter the rasa lila, because to enter the rasa lila, she had to take birth from the womb of a gopi. And for Lakshmi, she could not break her mood, she could not accept. Because if you take birth from the womb of a gopi, which is our desire as followers of Lord Chaitanya, who want to enter into Goloka Vrindavan, then if you take birth from the womb of a gopi, then as you're growing up, as a young gopi girl, you have to learn how to make cow patties, you know, get the cow stool and make the patties. Like you go to Vrindavan, you go to India, you see all the Madhijis, you know, they're making cow patties and putting them like that. And this is Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune. Supreme goddess of Vaikuntha, making cow patties, you know, putting them on a wall, you know, like that, cooking in the kitchen. She doesn't do all these things. Right? So how can she break her mood? How can she? She couldn't break her mood. So then Krishna said, I will let you become Sri Vatsa. There's a golden, Krishna has on his chest, and Narayan has on his chest, one golden tuft of hair. Small curl of blonde hair, or golden hair, which Krishna has on his chest. He said, you can stay on my chest as Sri Vatsa, as his tuft of hair. But he said that you cannot, from that position, you can witness the Rasa Lila. From that position, you can witness my pastimes with the gopis, but you cannot become a gopi. unless you give up your mood. She could not give up her mood. So Lord Chaitanya said to Vyankatabhata, then if your Narayan is supreme, then why does Lord Narayan's wife, Lakshmi, why does she want to come and dance with Maya Krishna? So he established, wherever he went in South India, he established Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, because we're Gaudiya Vaishnavas, because we're following Lord Chaitanya and Lord Chaitanya's mood, wherever Prabhupada went in the world, and wherever Prabhupada established temples, he always established temples of Radha and Krishna. Where is the temple in ISKCON where Prabhupada established Lakshmi Narayan? There's no Lakshmi Narayan temple. Because our goal is not Vaikuntha. Our goal is Goloka Vrindavan. Right? Because that is the mood of Lord Chaitanya, and we are following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we are Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we are following his mood. So therefore, when we do our worship, even from the very beginning of when we join ISKCON, we are doing Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. What does Vaidhi mean? Vaidhi. Vaidhi means rules. Oh, they have to sit cross-legged in front of Prabhupada. Vaidhi means rules, like that. And sadhana means? Discipline. Strictness, yeah, or practice, like that. Practicing according to rules and regulations. Now, there are two margs, or two types of sadhana, which can be practiced, which are mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. There is rag, anuga, sadhana, and vaidhi sadhana. One is according to rules and regulations. The other one is according to spontaneous devotional service. Now, even in the very beginning of our worship in ISKCON, we are doing Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, which means we are doing worship according to rules and regulations, just like we have to get up for Mangalati. Right? Mangalati starts at 4:30. That's a rule, like that. It's not spontaneous. We don't say, oh, Mangalati, you know, starts when everyone gets up. You know, or Mangalati starts when everyone, you know, gets everything ready. That's spontaneous. We don't do like that. We follow the Vaidhi. Like it follows, it begins at 4:30. We chant minimum 16 rounds a day. Right? We don't just say, well, okay, we'll just chant as many as you feel like chanting today. Right? If you feel like chanting 64, chant 64. No, minimum 60. There's like Vaidhi is there. But the mood of our sadhana is not pure Vaidhi. Even from the very beginning, because we are following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So even from the very beginning, there is a mood of rag. Within, this is explained by Jiva Goswami in the Bhakti Sandarbha, there is a mood of rag within our vaidhi. There's a mood of spontaneity within our vaidhi. Why? Because we're worshipping Krishna. We're not worshipping Narayan. Krishna can only be worshipped with rag. Perfectly, he can only be worshipped with rag. Right? You can't attain Krishna by vaidhi. But we must practice vaidhi, because if we don't practice vaidhi, we cannot attain Krishna perfectly. Right? We are not on the platform of spontaneity as yet. Spontaneous means you just perform your service out of pure enthusiasm. Hands up if every morning you feel purely enthusiastic to serve Krishna. Right? Pure enthusiasm. Just wake up in the morning, all I want to do is serve Krishna. Right? Nothing else. Only Rudra. Yeah. The temple president must be the example in our community. So he is feeling like that. So that is good. So if we follow his footsteps, we can also feel like that in due course of time. But this is the mood. One must feel, that's what we're trying to attain, is we must feel spontaneous. We just spontaneously feel enthusiastic to serve Krishna. That is what we're aiming for. But in order to attain that, we have to follow Vaidhi. Vaidhi means rules and regulations. Right? In other words, we take a vow at initiation to chant 16 rounds a day. Not 15. Right? Not 8 and then 8 more the next day. Right? Not like, you know, it's 16 rounds. That is our discipline. Right? Because by practicing the Vaidhi, then the rag, or the spontaneity, or that spontaneous desire to serve Krishna, that will arise within the consciousness, within the heart. But it needs to be brought out by the vaidhi. It won't just come automatically. If we just start on the platform of rag, right, we say, well, I'll just do it out of spontaneity. You know, after a few months, you won't even be getting up in the morning. Right, you'll start getting up at 6:30 and doing Mangalarti at 7, and you know, everything will just become degenerated. But if we follow the Vaidhi, but the point is that, and this is what Jiva Goswami explains in the Bhakti Sandarbha, that even from the beginning, the followers of Mahaprabhu, even though we're practicing Vaidhi, from the very beginning, it is infused with rag. It is based on rag, it's based on attachment, because we're worshipping Krishna, and Krishna is only approached through rag, or spontaneity. And you'll see that because you'll see that you'll see the Prabhupada installed all over ISKCON, installed Radha Krishna deities. Whenever you see Radha and Krishna, it's not just based on Vaidhi. Whenever we take darshan of Radha Vallabha, we're not just filled with awe and reverence. We're not. Even from when we first joined the temple, our mood is not, you are the Supreme Lord, you know, universes are emanating from your pores, you know, you can destroy everything just with a wink of your eye whenever you desire. That's not our mood towards Krishna. Our mood towards Krishna is that he is a cowherd boy. Right? He is playing a flute. Right? He is Shyama Sundara. He is beautiful. Tribhanga Lalita. Right? That is our mood towards him. But we understand that he is the Supreme Lord. He is the source of all other incarnations. So the Vaidhi is mixed with rag. Even from the very beginning, this is our line. Jiva Goswami points this out. We see that when we first join the temple, part of our sadhana in the morning is to worship Srimati Tulsi Devi. Now you listen to that song, or if you translate that song which we sing every morning to Tulsi Devi, right? E neve dana daro sakir anugata koro. My desire is to become a follower of the cowherd dancers of Vrindavan. Please give me the privilege of devotional service and make me your maidservant. Right? That is not awe and reverence. Right? That is rag. That is spontaneous devotion. Right? But in order for that spontaneity to properly manifest, we have to follow the Vaidhi very carefully. We have to follow the instruction very carefully. We have to follow the sadhana very carefully. When Prabhupada came to America in 1965, and he established ISKCON, and then he developed ISKCON, and then he went back to India in 1970, and then when his godbrothers, this was, who was saying this? I'm trying to remember who was. It might have been Giriraj Maharaj, I can't remember. I was listening to a lecture recently and he was explaining this point, that when Prabhupada brought ISKCON back to India after 5 years of preaching in the West, and he brought back his Western disciples, and his godbrothers began to see, those who appreciate, many of Prabhupada's godbrothers appreciated Prabhupada, then those who appreciated Prabhupada, and they saw how he had established ISKCON and how he established the sadhana for his Western disciples, they were very impressed. Because as soon as Prabhupada brought them back from the West, or as soon as they got off the plane, they already had a sadhana. They had a morning program. Even though they were staying in the Gaudiya Vaishnava, the Gaudiya Mutt temple sometimes when they first came back to India, when Prabhupada first brought his Western disciples back. But they already had an ISKCON sadhana. Right? Mangalarti is at a particular time, Tulsi Puja was at a particular time. Right? Offer obeisances to the Vaishnavas, chant the japa, greet the deities, have Bhagavatam fast. They were very impressed by Prabhupada's program which he'd established, because it was based on Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the teachings of Rupa Goswami. And they could see, and they commented to Prabhupada, I think it was Giriraj Maharaj who was explaining this, they commented to Prabhupada that they are very attached to regulation. They always rose early. Prabhupada was very emphatic about this in the early days of ISKCON. They always rose early, followed the morning program very systematically. In the early days of ISKCON, everyone came to the full morning program. Right? It was a very systematic practice of Vaidhi. Yeah? But they could understand that simultaneously, while they were practicing that strict discipline, simultaneously they were developing that natural spontaneity towards Krishna from the very beginning. So Prabhupada has perfectly understood the mood of the followers of Lord Chaitanya, Rupa Goswami, Jiva Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, and he's perfectly taken their mood and formed that within ISKCON's practices. So that when we follow our morning program, when we follow our sadhana in the morning, we're perfectly following the baiti, or the rules and regulations which are described by the followers of Lord Chaitanya, such as Rupa Goswami. But simultaneously, Prabhupada has captured the mood of Prabhu. Virgil. Any Rupa Goswami? So he is perfectly followed, or he's perfectly captured the spontaneous mood of Lord Chaitanya, which is to worship Krishna in the mood of the residents of Vrindavan. So Prabhupada has perfectly captured this mood within ISKCON, and this is the mood of ISKCON. We should understand this. Right? Our mood is specifically based on following the mood of Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya's mood is the mood of worshipping. Hey, Hare Krishna. Yeah, spontaneous devotion. It's good. But we're not ready for that yet. Not ready for pure spontaneity. Just like it says in the Nectar of Devotion, it says that one should not lay down before the deity. Now, you cannot come in the temple room and lay down before the deity. But on the mood of spontaneity, the example is given when a devotee in further in the Nectar of Devotion, when it describes the devotees in Sakya Ras, or those who have realize their mood of friendship, pure friendship towards Krishna, sometimes they lay down in the temple. They're in front of the deity, they lay down, right? Because they think, well, there's Krishna, he's my friend, right? We're in Vrindavan, and they lay down, and they're looking at Krishna, taking darshan of Krishna like that. That is okay for them, because they have realized their position. But if we do it at this point in time, on our level of advancement, it is aparad. It is offense. Because we're not...
To fall asleep.
Yeah. Everything will be it's not so spontaneous at this point in time. So this is aparada. No? So therefore we must follow strictly the rules and the regulations in our devotional service. But simultaneously we must understand this is the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is to worship Krishna spontaneously. It must be done spontaneously. If we want to attract Prabhuji, just go ahead. You can go ahead. Yeah. You? Then we have to learn to worship Krishna with spontaneity. In other words, there must be eagerness. Prabhupada explains this. Just like when you wake up in the morning, you are eager to go to Mangalati. Why are you eager to go to Mangalati? Because you want to see Krishna. You want to see him. There is an eagerness. I want to see the deities. I want to see Radha Balama. I want to be in the kirtan. Right? I love to chant the holy name. Just like Srila Prabhupada said, why 16 rounds? Why not 16,000 rounds? That is the feeling. Prabhupada was explaining in one lecture. He said, that is the feeling that must come. Right? That is what our bhakti is about. That's what our devotion is about. It's not about just doing things out of regulation, out of fear. Right? I must chant my rounds, otherwise I disobey the orders of the scripture and my spiritual master. Right? We do that in the beginning because we need to do that, otherwise we won't chant our rounds every day. But that is not our goal. The goal is to become eager, to develop a loyam or lobe, which means an eagerness to attain Krishna. And actually Rupa Goswami says this, Krishna can only be attained by paying one price. Right? And that price is eagerness, eagerness to attain him. Therefore Prabhupada once said, you should go to the place where they are selling Krishna anxiety and you must buy as much as possible. Anxiety for Krishna. I want to get Krishna. And when you see devotees who have that mood, you have to get their association as much as possible. And you'll see that our spiritual masters within ISKCON have this mood. That's why we bow down at their lotus feet. That's why we follow them. Because our guru has this mood. And he's teaching us this mood, to be eager to serve Krishna. So we see that this is what the Bhagavad Gita is ultimately concluding. Krishna is tu Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is the supreme, original personality of Godhead. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is that self-same Krishna. And the process, that's why Lord Chaitanya emphasized Srimad Bhagavatam above all other scriptures, because the Bhagavatam teaches us perfectly the process of Harinam Anukirtanam, or how to attain Krishna in the mood of the residents of Vrindavan, which is what the 10th canto is, the Param Satcham, or the ultimate instruction of the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam. So we'll stop here and we'll see if there's any questions or comments on what we discussed. The first thing you have to do is maintain your discipline. The first thing you have to do is maintain getting up early in the morning. Basically, if you get up early in the morning, then spiritual life becomes a lot easier. And we all know that. It's a lot easier to chant your rounds early in the morning than it is to chant, you know, if you get up late. It's already more difficult to chant like that. So you have to design your life in such a way that, and Prabhupada says at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, he says, design your life in such a way that you cannot help but think of Krishna 24 hours a day. So you have to design it. So the first thing you have to do is go to bed early. So then, what does that mean? It means you have to get up early. So what does that mean? That means you have to go to bed early. You can't be on a program where you're going to bed late and getting up early. You can't maintain that for a long period of time. And that means other practical things, like you can't eat too much in the evening. Basic instructions are given, like we should eat like a king in the morning. It means you have a good breakfast. A prince in the midday, middle of the day. Prince means that's when you have your main meal. That's when you eat most, because the prince has more digestion than the king. Good breakfast. Most of your prasad you take in the middle of the day, because when the sun's at the zenith, or the sun's at the highest point, that's when digestion is strongest. So it's when you take most of your prasad. And actually, Ayurveda says do not eat after the sun has gone down. That's actually the best, if you can do it. I mean, sometimes we eat, you know, around about when the sun's going down, or maybe just after. But don't eat straight before you go to bed. That's not good. And it'd be very hard to get up in the morning also, like that. So it says that eat like the king, eat like the prince, and in the evening, eat like a pauper. Eat like a poor person, you know, who doesn't have very much. So you just eat a small amount of prasad in the evening. So that's the beginning of some basic, practical things that you need to do. And then to maintain your eagerness, eagerness comes, or enthusiasm for devotional service comes by associating with those who have enthusiasm. That's where it all comes from. Spiritual life is based on association. So you have to find devotees who have a taste for chanting. And Haridas Thakur says in the Harinam Chintamani, he says that if you want to overcome the offence of inattentiveness while chanting. When we say the 10 offences in the morning, the list that Prabhupada gave us in the morning, that comes from the Padma Purana. So we say the 10 offences, and we say, like, as an extra offence, or as the 11th offence, we say it is also an offence to be inattentive while chanting. But in the Harinam Chintamani, then Haridas Thakur, he merges offence 5 and 6. Offence 5 and 6, one of them is to think the holy name to be imagination, and the other one is to put a mundane interpretation on the holy name. So he merges them as one offence. And then one of the 10 offences, he says, is inattentiveness. That's why Prabhupada included it, because it's actually in some list, that's one of the 10. So when Haridas Thakur describes that we should try to overcome this offence of inattentiveness, he says that one of the pieces of advice that he gives is that every day we should make it a habit, a practice, to chant in the association of a Vaishnava who has a taste for the holy name for 1 hour every morning. So you have to find devotees who have the taste. Right? And by their association, you'll get it as well. It's like everything. It's like if you want to get a taste for kirtan, you need devotees who are enthusiastic about kirtan. Just like Madhavadwija Prabhu, he has so much taste for kirtan, spontaneous taste for kirtan. So then in his association, everyone else gets the taste. Same for Bhagavatam, for studying, but some devotees have got the taste for studying Bhagavatam. By their association, you get the taste. Some devotees have the taste for book distribution. By their association, you get the taste. Some devotees have the taste for deity worship. Right? By their association, you get it. So everything in spiritual life is based on sadhu sangha, or finding the sadhus who have the taste. So that's what you have to do. And if you do that your whole life, if you do those two things, if you get up early, right, and if you find devotees who have enthusiasm, then your spiritual life will be much easier. And then the third element is that it comes down to you. Then you have to put the effort in. Because even if all the externals are there, ultimately it comes down to what's in your heart between you and Krishna. Do you actually want to re-establish that lost relationship? Right? And when you say to Krishna, when you say, yes, I do want to establish that lost relationship with you, Krishna says, really? Are you serious? Right? And then the test comes. And then he throws everything, or Maya on his behalf, throws everything in the way. Right? And all those things which are in the way, sometimes we think it's so difficult. That's actually Krishna. He's watching the whole time. Right? He's making it difficult because he wants to see, are you serious? Do you really want to get back to me? Because if you really want to get back here, nothing can stop you. Just like the story is giving of Bilva Mangala Thakur. He's a very great Vaishnava devotee. In Vrindavan, he's famous. He lived 800 years ago in Vrindavan. He was blind, very famous. And Lord Chaitanya used to listen to his poetry. So he became attached to a prostitute called Chintamani. So one, you know that story? Yeah. So one night, he was going to Chintamani, and he got to the bank of the river, and it was raining torrentially. You know, Ganga or something like that. And you see the Ganges is already so powerful. What to speak when there's a storm going and there's waves and everything, and he starts swimming across the river because there was no boatman that night. Swimming across the river just to get to Chintamani, right? And then he was drowning, so he grabbed onto a log, right? And the log was a dead body, right? And then he was using that dead body to get across to Chintamani. So much desire to be with her. Gets across, goes across, gets to her wall. Her gates are shut because she thinks no one's going to come tonight. No sane person is going to come tonight. So then he sees the gates are shut, he still wants to be with her. So then he starts climbing up the wall, grabs onto a vine, it's a snake. Right? Throws it aside, gets up there, climbs up her wall, finally gets onto her balcony, knocks on her window, she opens the window and thinks, who is there? Yeah, who is this mad person? Right? And then he comes in soaking wet. She says, if you had this much desire to be with Krishna as you have to be with me, he said, you would be perfect. And then he realized something came from his previous lifetime. So at that point in time, then he left and he totally renounced and he started walking towards Vrindavan. So on the way to Vrindavan, then he saw the wife of a brahmana and she was very beautiful, and then he became attracted to her, so he followed her home. And then the wife of the brahmana, Dwijapatni, she went into the house and she said to her husband, she said, there's a man following me, he's been following me all the way home. So the brahmana went outside and he said, what is it that you desire? And he said, I want to enjoy with your wife. So then he said, then if that is your desire, then you'll fulfill it. So he went to his wife, he said, this man has come with this desire, we must fulfill that. You know, out of like a dharmic principle, following strict dharma or strict religion. Whenever the guest comes, you must fulfill their desire. So she dressed herself very nicely and he came to her in the evening and Bilva Mangala Thakur came in. But then when he got to her, then he realized, I'm insane. You know, I'm going to Vrindavan to meet Krishna and once again I've become distracted by Maya. So he said to the brahmana's wife, he said, please give me the pins in your hair. She had some pins holding her hair. So she took out the pins, she gave them to him, and he got the pins and he pulled his eyes out. And then he thought, you know, now I cannot see Maya, then I will not become distracted. So then, as a blind person, he walked to Vrindavan, hundreds of kilometers to Vrindavan. And finally he got to Vrindavan, and he was so sincere in his bhajan And he became a Siddha Mahant. He became a perfect devotee. If you go to Vrindavan, this is like if you get off the train in Mathura. I don't know, I haven't been in the Mathura station for years, but they used to have a big picture on the wall of Bilva Mangala Thakur as a blind sadhu who was there doing his bhajan, and Krishna was coming to him to bring him milk every day because he was blind and he was so absorbed in his chanting and his hearing. Krishna would personally bring him milk every day. So he's very famous in Vrindavan, he's one of the most famous sadhus. So then he became very famous and he wrote Krishna Karnamrita. He wrote some very famous literature about Krishna, about his relationship with Krishna and the mood of the Vrindavan. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to relish hearing those pastimes. So this is the point. The point is that if you want to be with Krishna, this is the ultimate price you must pay. You must prove to Krishna that there is nothing in this material world which will stop you from attaining him. But as soon as you become a little bit serious, then Krishna begins to test you. He says, are you really serious about this? Right? And then he'll throw everything in the way. Maya will, on Krishna's behalf, Maya will test you with everything. I'll test you to the end of your tether. Take you to the end of your, see, you know, how much resolution do you actually have. But that's Krishna, he's watching every step, he's watching every step. And if we do, if we pass all the tests, then we go back to Goloka. But if we, somewhere along the way, if we allow ourselves to be distracted, then we can't go back. We have to take birth again. Is that okay?
Just from the story, everything what you said is perfect. But if you were blind, how did you write it? A book.
So that the answer to that question we have to ask Prana Guru.
How did you write?
Revelation.
Like Srila Vyasadeva, he was dictating to Ganesh. It must have been something like that. He must have been speaking it and then someone was writing it. In Vrindavan, if you go to Varshana, there's one painting on top of the hill in a place called Morkutia. Has anyone been there? Morkutia? Like that, you walk up, if you come to Varshana, you walk up to the top of the hill, there's four peaks, Lord Brahma's four heads in Varshana, and on top of one of the peaks is a beautiful little temple, and it's called Morkutia. That's where Radharani and Krishna dance together as peacocks. It took form of peacocks and they dance together at that place. So, there's a painting there which is 250 years old, and the painting was painted by a blind Vaishnava. And this painting is of Radha and Krishna dressed in the costume, in the vesh, or the costume of peacocks, and they're dancing together. And the beautiful peacock, and it's painted by a blind devotee. You can see pictures of this in some of the Parikram guidebooks. It's a very beautiful picture. So somehow they can manage to do these things by Krishna's inspiration.
I think I've seen this.
You've seen the picture? So, Mati? Because the principle is that when a guest comes to your home, then they must be treated as Bhagavan or as God. So sometimes you see there's stories in the scriptures which show a principle to a very extreme degree, just to teach us or put it into our mind how important this principle is. Just like in the Mahabharata, you'll see it's full of these kind of principles. Just like when Gandhari was married to Dhritarashtra, then she blindfolded her eyes. So the reason she did that, because it shows the principle of chastity in womanhood to like the furthest degree, to the most perfect degree, like that. So it's not expected that every woman will actually do that, but it shows the principle to the highest degree. So in a story, you have a story like that where the brahmana, he gave his wife in charity. That was to show this principle to a very high degree, that when the guest comes to our home, we must treat them as Bhagavan. We must treat them as God. We must give them, fulfill all their desires. That's the principle. Like that. Is that okay? Yeah, because also when you're dealing in the scriptures, that's why
Prabhupada translated the Bhagavatam ahead of the Mahabharat, because the Mahabharat is dealing with a lot of principles of Dharma. But in the Bhagavatam, although it deals with a lot of the principles of Dharma, but bhakti always supersedes or is more powerful than Dharma. Whereas in some of the other scriptures, Dharma becomes like the topmost principle. So when you see there's stories like that, this is showing like Dharma is being... Because in India, if you go to India, some people have this conclusion that Dharma is the highest principle. The goal of life is to follow Dharma perfectly. Right, to always be like a perfect person, like that. But that's not actually our principle. Our principle is to follow Krishna. Just like in the Mahabharata, who was Dharma Raj? Right? Dharma Raj was Yudhisthira. Right? He was the son of Dharma. He was the son of Yama. Right? He was the son of religion. So he was perfect. But when Krishna said to him, right, you have to lie, right, and say that Ashwatthama is dead, Yudhisthira wouldn't do it. He put Dharma in front of Krishna. Right? And therefore, after he did that, his chariot never touched the ground, because Yudhisthira was so pure, his chariot was always off the ground. Because in the battle, you know, when people start dying and everything, the ground becomes very muddy, right? And everyone's chariots get bogged down all the time. But his chariot was above the ground. But after he didn't follow Krishna's instruction, put Dharma ahead of Krishna, then his chariot sunk into the ground. He was just like everyone else. So sometimes in the scriptures it shows Dharma as being like the highest thing, but for us bhakti is the highest thing. Like that. Is that okay? Yeah, I mean, if someone knocks on... Yeah, I agree. That's why if someone knocks on our door, you know, I promise I won't give you away. You don't have to worry, just because we're talking. Yeah, that's why it says in our checking system is a three-way checking system. We have Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. So if there's something within Shastra which is not able to be understood, then you consult Guru and Sadhu. So in our line, because we emphasize bhakti as being the supreme teaching ahead of Dharma, then we would not do that. But for someone who's following Dharma as being supreme, they would follow it to a T. They would follow it even though it may not be, you know, the perfect thing, but still they'd just follow that principle to the end. It's like Yudhisthira took a vow that he would not lie. That was his vow. So even when Krishna himself said, Yudhisthira, we need you to lie. The only way we can defeat Drona is that if he thinks Ashwatthama is dead. And the only person, Drona said, I will only believe it if Yudhisthira says it. Because he's taken a vow not to lie, and he knew that he would not lie. Right? But that was Vedic culture. When they took vows, that was it. It was like Dharma was so powerful out there. Is that okay?
Okay. Lord Krishna will always protect us. Why for the devotees? He will be protected by Lord Krishna already. Yeah. He doesn't have to worry.
Yeah. So even if I say, okay, you can have my wife, but when I say that, then some animal will make a loud noise and they won't hear my words, and then... Krishna will protect the devotees. Yeah. Any other question or comment? Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki.
Yeah.